Fuzzy TV.
I'm Martin effing Sander. Get the hell out of my way. Get the hell out of my way. I want to talk about myself all the time.
Oh boy.
Well, yes, this is a one-way conversation. I can't help that. Nobody's talking back to me. I can easily be deferential toward other people's stories or input. Yes, yes, all the time, all the time. Don't get the wrong idea about me. But that's enough about me. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do today. To pick up on something I said yesterday. Yeah, everybody, so many people just get down on themselves. Like, they're nothing. Their suffering is nothing. They're just the little toe in the body of Christ. And, well, if you're the little toe in the body of Christ, then guess what? You're going to be lifted up. You're going to be given more exceeding honor. Because that's the way God works. He takes the least, and he makes it the greatest. So our apostle, who's the greatest, he's going to be delighted at our glorification. He's going to take a little, some smug satisfaction in it because, you know, he's responsible for it, relatively speaking. So that'll be great. But he wants to hear our story. Clyde and I used to say this all the time. We used to talk about how, you know, how people say in the body of Christ, people say, oh, it's going to be so great to see the Apostle Paul. Can't wait to meet Paul. True. I'm looking forward to meeting the guy myself. But what we realized was that Paul is going to, like, be amazed to meet us because we survived to the coming of Christ. We are living in the worst time, the most evil time in human history. In the last days, Paul says, 2 Timothy 3, perilous periods will be present in all their alliteration and all their alliterating glory. And we're there and we're living in it. And Paul's going to be amazed. You guys made it. You guys were living in the most evil time when unbelief and demonic influences were everywhere, where religion taken over the earth. And you people not only survived, but you kept the faith, just like I did. See, he's going to give us credit for keeping the faith. Now, that's what a great man does. Gives other people credit for keeping the faith. Yeah, but Paul, you're the champion of keeping the faith. Yeah, I know. But look at you. I love that. So Paul follows that up in chapter 2 of Philippians by giving the ultimate example of humility. I told you a lot of this book is about humility, deeming one another to be superior to oneself, even if they're not. Not saying you don't argue for the truth. I'm not saying you don't correct serious departure from the truth. That's another matter altogether. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here we go. Chapter 2, verse 5. For let this disposition be in you, which is in Christ Jesus also, who, being inherently in the form of God, deems it not pillaging, that is, robbery, to be equal with God, nevertheless empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity, and being found in fashion as a human, he humbles himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I could go two different ways on this. And I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to juggle both paths I can take here. The one path is to talk about the humility of Christ. The other path is to show you how, while many people use this passage to prove that Jesus Christ is God the Father, it proves nothing of the kind. In fact, it proves the opposite. But see, that's not really my goal here, but I'm going to have to do it because of the way this verse is perverted and misused. So we're going to talk about the humility of Christ itself. And then I'm going to point out to you that I'm going to make sure you understand that this verse, this passage is not teaching. Though it seems to at first glance in some places, it is not teaching that Jesus Christ is God the Father. So let's look first at the humility aspect. Jesus Christ being inherently in the form of God. By the way, form denies essence. See, I'm doing both at the same time. Form denies essence. If he's in the form of God, that proves, the word form proves that he's not God. He was in the form of God, and we also know he's the image of the invisible God. So Christ had a glory. He pre-existed. Of course he pre-existed. It's everywhere in Scripture. Christ pre-existed his birth in Bethlehem. Otherwise, this verse has no meaning. No meaning whatsoever. He empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming into the likeness of humanity. How can you come into the likeness of humanity unless you start not being in the likeness of humanity? Yes, that's right. All things came into existence through the Word, through Him, through Jesus Christ. He was God's creative original, Revelation 3:14, and through Him all other things came into existence, John 1:1, that have come into existence. He is the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn. The origin of the creation of God. Revelation 3:14 again. So from that station, he voluntarily empties himself, taking the form of humanity. Talk about humility. Talk about deeming others to be superior to oneself. He's got it made at the right hand of God. And yet God has a plan whereby God will communicate with human beings, not merely through the marvel of the heavens, not merely through words of the prophets, but he's going to send his own son, who is the image of himself, to communicate with us directly and to demonstrate the love of God. Thus, God loves the world, John 3:16, that he sends his only begotten son, and to die the most heinous death there can be, crucifixion, and that's what's happening here. How's that? Paul said, let this disposition be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Inherently in the form of God, deems it not pillagey to be equal to God. I'm going to explain that in a second. Nevertheless, empties himself, taking the form of a slave. Okay, there's the word form again. He's in the form of a slave. He's not a slave. He's in the form of a slave. When he comes down and starts washing the feet of the disciples, he's in the form of a slave. This is what I mean. This is what Paul means. Christ as the example. The greater you are, the more you serve. The greater you are, the more you esteem others. And if you're trying to jockey for position, right, if you're trying to show that you're the greatest, then you're not great. That proves you're not great. You just proved you're not great. What'd you do that for? You want to prove that you're great? Then deem others to be superior than yourself. Lift up the lesser member of the body of Christ, or the one that deems him or herself to be lesser. And humble yourself. Wash the feet of the saints. Be a servant. Get in the dirt with people. Don't set yourself up on high. On Monday, I talked about Jimmy Swaggart and James Baker. They set themselves up on high. Jimmy Swaggart. What are you doing, Jimmy, baby? Setting yourself up as this moral icon. You have only one place to go, my friend, and that's down. That's what happened. Jim Baker, same thing. These guys set themselves up. You see, I start in the trench, and I stay in the trench. I'm a member of the body of Christ, right along with everybody else. I'm in the dirt. I'm in the same boat, to use another analogy. Dirt, water, whatever you like. And so, I just teach. So, let this disposition be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And there, he's the perfect example. We don't have to go to that extreme. Paul's not saying, I want you to be inherently in the form of God. I want you to come down to that. Of course not. It's the same in Ephesians 5 when Paul says, husbands, be loving your wives as Christ loves the ecclesia. It doesn't mean we're supposed to be crucified for our wives. It's an example of how to be deferential, of how not to destroy people who are lesser than you. Jesus Christ, as the head of the ecclesia, could have just wiped that out if he wanted to. Husbands, be like that. Don't lord it over your wives. Be kind, be gentle, be meek toward them. Deem them to be superior to you. Because actually, I think they are. In many cases, perhaps every case. So he's in the form of God, that proves he's not God. He's in the form of a slave, that proves he's not a slave. And here's a curious phrase. He deems it not pillaging, that is robbery, to be equal with God. So Jesus Christ was equal to God. Well, there you go. Martin Zetter, you just proved against your own teaching. You say Jesus Christ is not God, but Scripture says he's equal to God. Yes, and guess what? The presence of the equal sign proves that there's two different sides of the equation. The equal sign proves that he's not God. You can't be equal to yourself. So the question you need to ask yourself is, in what way is he equal to God? He's the image of God. If you've heard him, you've heard the Father. That's what he told old Philip. If you heard me, you've heard the Father. Show us the Father. Show us the Father, Philip said. Like looking past Jesus. Like, show us the Father. You're nice. You're nice, but show us the Father. Jesus Christ grabs him by the lapel, pulls him in, looks him in the face, and says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm equal to God in the sense that I represent him perfectly. And God has given me all the honors due him, just like Christ. It's like we're equal to Christ. If I could say it, my God, I don't think I've ever said that before in my life. In that Christ is giving us all of his treasures, all of his awards, all of his wreaths, all of his righteousness. We've been given it by him. So in that sense, we're equal to him. It doesn't mean we are him. Again, the presence of the equal sign disproves oneness. It disproves it. You can't be equal to yourself. 2 + 2 = 4. You got 2 + 2 on one side, 4 on the other side. 2 + 2 is not 4. 2 + 2 is 2 + 2. 4 is 4. They're two different elements. And don't let anybody tell you that Jesus Christ did not pre-exist. That's one of the worst teachings I've ever heard. There's no evidence of it. The evidence put forward for it is the best evidence against it. Because it's bad, very bad. I wrote, I think, 2 or 3 newsletters against a teaching that Jesus Christ did not exist until he came out of his mommy's womb. The day he came out of his mommy's belly, that's the first day he ever existed. You got to be kidding me. Really? Then how was he the firstborn of all creation? How did he lower himself, taking the form of humanity? When did he do that? All right, anyway, that's another story. Like I said, I'm going to have to juggle these two things. So he not only empties himself. It's a two-part emptying, if you will, of Christ. A two-part lowering. Let me say that. He empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity, and being found in fashion as a human. He humbles himself. So he empties himself by leaving the right hand of God, coming to be in fashion as a human being. And then he humbles himself. On top of that, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the one thing. I mean, there's many things he didn't deserve. He did not deserve. But of all the things our Lord and Savior did not deserve, one of the main ones would be to be crucified. Didn't deserve it. And yet he did it for our sakes. He was not guilty of anything. They accused him of all kinds of things he was not guilty of. And so Jesus said to his disciples at one time, you remember this, is the servant to be treated any different than the master? He's our master. Look what happened to him. Well, thank God we don't have to be crucified for the sins of the world. You'll never be asked to do that. It's already been done. But there are sufferings remaining for the body of Christ, and Paul says they are graciously granted to us. So as the sufferings are graciously granted to us, so are elements of the humility of Christ. And Paul is saying, right, that he wants the saints to be like Christ in this way. And this is just, Christ is the latest, greatest example of how to deem one another superior to oneself and how to serve those who are even lesser than you. Serve those who are lesser than you. That's a great thing. And that would fill full Paul's joy to hear of this happening in the body of Christ. So let's set Paul as our example, who went around all the ecclesias building them up, and the ultimate example, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Talk about deeming others to be superior than him, washing the feet of the disciples, and they objected vehemently, especially Peter. No, Lord, far be it. See, this is what some of you do. Oh, no, not me. I'm just nothing. I'm nobody. Shut up. Get up, because you're going to get more exceeding honor. You're going to be glorified. And you're going to get a wreath of righteousness. And you're going to get baubles, bangles, and beads laid upon you at the dais of Christ. So get used to the idea.